Hi there folks, Paul here, signing in for another video. Hello, welcome, thanks for stopping by to watch this video. I really do appreciate it. Now today we are going to continue on our series, the Sermon on the Mount. We're in chapter 6 of the book of Matthew. Today looking at verses 16, 17 and 18. Just three little verses, but so much we can grab from this. In my Bible it has a title, Fasting to be Seen Only by God. So we're going to be talking about fasting, Jesus talking about it. And because it is just three verses, and they're fairly self-explanatory, there's not much to be given on the actual verses themselves. There is a small part of cultural context. I think what we'll also do is just talk as a general rule about fasting. It's not... Some churches I've been to over the years, it's not spoken of much, and therefore people don't have a good understanding. But I can't give you a full understanding right now, but rather some notes, which I hope you will then write down and go back to later in your own time. Because Jesus talks here and he says, very beginning, this is important, moreover, when you fast. Not if, but when you fast. And one of the questions I want to answer is, well, do we still need to fast? Is there any direction given to us on this? What reasons would we have for fasting? And so on. So let me just read these verses and then we'll come back, have a look at a few notes and then just discuss a few generalized items to do with fasting. So verse 16 of Matthew chapter 6, moreover, Jesus says, when you fast, there it is, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, verse 17, when you fast, there it is again, anoint your head, wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So let me just quickly recap a few key points in there. I've said it once, I've said it twice, I'll say it now a third time, when you fast. Now this instruction is, yes, to the Jews. This is the people who are gathering to listen. And in Jewish culture, they were commanded to fast. Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. This was an annual fast for repentance of sins. This is for atonement. They were commanded to do this. So when he says to them, when you fast, this is actually going to be happening for them. But he says, do not be like the hypocrites, the Hippocrates in the Greek. We discussed this earlier, this mask wearing that in the Greek theater, people would put on a mask. They might be seen then up the back, depending on the expression of the face of the mask, that they could be seen by all men clearly. Don't be like them, Jesus says. Because they would come and appear to be fasting. And in the modern context, culture that we have now, look, I've been guilty of it myself, and I've seen it as well. Someone comes to church and they're just looking downcast. It's their third or fourth day. Maybe they're fasting for 5 days and they have to let you know about it. And just, oh, yes, I'm suffering. Oh, yes, this is so hard. Don't be like that. Do it in secret. Now, obviously, you know, if you're married, you're going to need to let your husband or your wife know about this. Whomever's cooking the meals, they're going to notice if you're not eating or if you're doing a partial fast of some sort. They're going to know. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking here about when you fast, don't make a big thing of it. Don't make a show of it. Don't look for sympathy because that's the reward. Your reward, he says, surely they have their reward. That's the reward he's talking about. Oh, yes, you are suffering. I feel for you, brother. I feel for you, sister. I'm proud of you, brother. I'm proud of you, sister. I'll be praying for you. Help you get through this harsh thing. The reward of the gratitude, the reward of platitudes from men. No, we don't want that. We want reward from our Father in heaven, which, of course, I'll discuss shortly. The point, the whole point, why? Why should we fast? But he says in verse 17, when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, keep yourself clean, chin up, smile, put on your Sunday best, so to speak. I read a reference in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, talking about just dealing with life, that no matter how life should deal with you, yes, chin up, Sunday best, nice white clothing which represented festivity and joy, and anoint your hair with oil, because in that harsh, sort of almost desert-like climate, this would show you as being bright and well and happy and healthy. And this was a cultural thing very much. I'm not going to run oil through my hair before I go to church, but yes, absolutely. Night before, I'll have my shower, I'll wash my hair. I want to look good. Why? Because I want to show off? No, I just want to look good. Now, especially if I'm feeling like, well, rubbish, especially if I'm not well, perhaps, not contagious, but just not well, or, you know, maybe I've done something. I'll do my best not to limp. I do have a permanent struggle with some arthritis, and I want to look well. Why? Because overcoming, and I will take my concerns to the Lord or to the elders of the church or have my wife pray for me. But it's not going to be, should not be, oh, woe is me this, oh, woe is me that. Yes, yes, look at me suffering whilst I fast. No. That's what he's talking about here particularly. And let me just say that on the extreme, and I have seen this, and it's saddening and it's disappointing, that the extreme is no matter how bad things are, no matter how tough life is, no matter what's going wrong, you don't ask for help, you don't ask for prayer because, oh, I have to keep this to myself. I'm not allowed to show people that I'm suffering. No, no, not that. If you're suffering, oh, men, I work in the men's ministry here in my local church. Men, if you're suffering, come, talk to me, talk to the others who are involved with running this, that we might pray for you, that we might uphold you, that we can bring your need also before the Lord and help strengthen you. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about when you are fasting, going, oh, look at me. Yes. No. Not to bring attention to yourself, but we bring glory to the Lord. And Jesus wraps that up saying, you don't want to appear to others as if you are fasting, because fasting is a choice, a denial of self. It is so completely different to if you are struggling with something and prayer or encouragement or comfort or care is needed. So completely different. And I like how Jesus says, when you fast, not when, but if. Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, a commandment by God in Leviticus 16, I think it's also 23, don't quote me on that one, but certainly in Leviticus 16, the Day of Atonement, where they were commanded once a year to fast for atonement, for remission of sins. This is the time when the high priest, they would sacrifice the lamb and then also the scapegoat, so that the sins might be done away with. This was, in Jewish custom, the Israelites, very important, the most solemn of days. So when Jesus says, when you fast, for them, this is a commandment. They were going to be fasting. But there are many other reasons why people at different times might fast. And I'm going to say very clearly something now. I want you to grasp and understand this, because it may be a little bit different from what you've heard up there on the platform in some modern churches. I have heard where instruction on fasting would be to achieve a thing, to receive a thing. I'm struggling with my finances. God, I need a better job. I'm fasting about getting a better job. Or, you know, my health is not so good right now. Father, I need healing. I'm fasting that you might hear me, that I receive this healing. Well, just back a page or so in my Bible, here in Matthew chapter 6, still the Sermon on the Mount, verse 8, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask him. And if you go into Isaiah 58, please write that one down. Isaiah 58, a beautiful chapter on fasting with instruction given by Isaiah. The people are going, well, you know, why aren't our prayers being answered? And as Isaiah says, because you are fasting for the wrong reasons. And there's a lot more detail in that. It's a Sunday sermon just on its own. But we are not to fast to deny ourselves that we might gain greater attention from God. No. And I have some examples here we'll look at briefly in one moment. The whole point of fasting, as you will see by reading through these examples I'm about to give, and Isaiah 58, and this instruction here from our Lord, is that we might come closer to God. That's it. I mean, He is our provider, is He not? He is Jehovah Rapha, our healer, is He not? Yes. Does He not already know our need before we say it? Great. Well, there's no need to shout. That's not going to bring you a better answer from God. Instead, we fast that we might draw near to Him. Draw near to me, Jesus said, and I will draw near to you. So a couple of examples, and just very quickly, I'd like to ask you to perhaps jot these ones down, and then in a time of prayer, read through them. Give them consideration. Yom Kippur, Leviticus 69, discussing the whole point of atonement. And also we see in Jonah chapter 3 for repentance. Now this is the whole city of Nineveh. Once they were convicted of their sin and then repentance needed, the king commanded fasting, wearing of sackcloth, which was an ancient tradition for mourning. 1 Samuel 31, we see fasting for mourning. Now why? Well, this is a classic example to prove the point that we are not seeking God for a thing. We're not fasting when we're mourning. If someone has passed, in this case, 1 Samuel 31, Saul. David wasn't fasting because he wanted God to raise him up. Dave's heart was broken. And he was fasting and mourning that he might just draw nearer to God. Why? Because God is our comforter. And through Him we find that joy that passes understanding, that peace that passes understanding. We see also in Daniel chapter 9, prayers for guidance. What should we do? Well, that's the outcome. But if our main goal of fasting is to draw nearer unto God, the Holy Spirit will guide us in the answer to what should we do. So we pray not for the thing, but that we might come closer to God. And the fasting, we are denying ourselves some pleasures. If you look at, perhaps as an analogy, the Sabbath, Shabbat, with the Jewish culture, every, you know, that final day, every day, no work, no nothing, to rest in the Lord. That's the whole point of it. Fasting, where we also, we rest, but we then go one step further to deny ourselves pleasures. Look at Daniel when he was fasting with food, the pleasures and the beautiful things of life. We have in the modern context now something called a Daniel fast. And perhaps you are not in a position where you're able to put away food completely for a time. Maybe look at a Daniel fast, denying yourselves of the pleasure. You know, if you're a meat eater, if you're a lover of desserts and coffee and all of these beautiful things, do what Daniel did. Put them away for a time and draw nearer to God that He might draw nearer to you. In times of crisis, in the book of Esther, we see in Esther chapter 4, she's about to come to the king without being summoned, which was a take your head off kind of thing. So she calls for her people to pray and to fast. Yes, what she's hoping for is, Lord, I hope that He won't take my head, but I'm going to draw nearer to You because You are my salvation. You are my rock. You are my fortress. And that's the desire in the fasting. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, in times of war, as this was, seeking guidance, times of war, looking for protection. Yes, but it's a time of war. People die. Who do you want to be closest to in those moments before you pass? God. And so fasting, not just for the victory, but that you may be closer to God and that He would protect you. Acts chapter 14, church matters, decisions about oversight and elders in the church. And we see here that they prayed and they fasted, seeking, yes, guidance, seeking what they should do. But how do you get the guidance? This is what I'm trying to point out here. You draw near to God, and that's what we do with the fasting. The fasting is not a magical button where you press it, God hears, and he answers. And that is abhorrent, and it is taught in some places in the modern church, and it's wrong. Fasting for our own reasons. We fast that we might draw nearer to God, because here's the thing about faith and fasting, indeed, studying the word whilst we do and praying builds faith. When we are standing strong and firm in our foundation of faith, which is in Christ Jesus, whatever answer the Lord has for us, we accept because it's from him. Yes. That is faith. Faith, true faith, says, I accept, Lord, the answer that you give me. Because sometimes when we pray, and we see this in Scripture, he says yes, and there's the blessing. Sometimes he says no, and the blessing is received in another way, but not the way we may have expected. Sometimes he just seems to say wait, where we are told to wait on the Lord that he might renew our strength. The answer that we receive, as men, we are so easily disappointed if it's not what we want. And so don't go into it saying, Lord, I'm praying so you do this. Father, this is my need. Yes, absolutely. He knows it before you even ask. This is my need. Well, Lord, I want to spend this time just getting to know you better. Spend time denying some of my flesh that I might dig into the things of the Spirit. Luke chapter 2, we see the prophetess at the steps of the temple. Just pure devotion, prayer and fasting. She had committed her life to it. Just adoration for our Lord and our Savior, or for God as it was for her at that time. In Exodus 34, we see another example, preparation. Again, so much we see examples in Scripture of people seeking guidance from the Lord. And the only way you can get guidance is to draw closer to him. And that is the point of prayer and fasting. And so when you fast, when, not if, when, you too, when, don't be like the hypocrites. Don't be wearing a mask so that people should see you. Yes, if you need to talk to someone in the family or someone who provides the food, sure, no problem. The elders of the church, that they might pray with you, sure, no problem. But not to be seen and rewarded by them for guidance. Husband or wife, yes. And then pray in secret. Interesting enough that when I was alone, as I was on my own for many years before I was blessed by God, remarried, new family, I never did this. Never did it. Perfect opportunity. Never did. Certainly should have. Now I find even more need, less opportunity, but more need. And I too still need to do more of this. And understand, just quickly, a couple of different, there's so many different ways you can fast. I know people who have fasted just from social media. And the time that they've gained back, they've used that to dig in to the word and in prayer. A fast from TV for, you know, a month, for example. Yeah, that'd be tough, certainly, for some of us. But we use that time to dig into the word, to get to know God better. Did you know that? That this is like an instruction book from our Maker, the Bible. That's what it is. It's an instruction book from our Father who made us. These are his letters to us, showing us how to have that beautiful and blessed life. Yes. So anyway, folks, we're going to leave it there. Thank you so much for joining with me. I pray you'll have a wonderful week. God bless, and we'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.